Well, it was March 2005. I know some of you weren't born yet, but anyway, bear with me. And I was in the hospital getting ready to have our baby girl. The day was filled with lots of emotion, pain, some laughter, definitely discomfort, and I was extremely anxious about becoming a mother and being responsible for a little human being. Well, my parents were in town eager to meet this new little one, and they came to the hospital to visit while I was in labor. Now, it's not the easiest thing to see someone you love in pain or uncomfortable. And to be honest, my mom is one who clearly shies away from these experiences. She hates anything to do with medical stuff. She is very empathetic and she feels, but she cannot stand being in these types of situations. So I knew that they would not be staying long. I saw the anguish on her face as she watched me in pain. So she did what made sense to her, and she went shopping. It's true. But here's what's awesome about my mom. She didn't go shopping for herself or even for this new little one that was arriving into our family. No, she went shopping for me. Wandering the mall, asking herself, what would be the best gift I could give Michelle? Nothing baby-related, nothing to do with the nursery, just something for her. And she returned later that afternoon with a gift, the best gift that she could think of for her daughter in this situation. And I have it here today. Are you ready? A coffee grinder. This is it. This is actually what she brought me to the hospital when I was giving birth to our daughter. Well, we all laughed. It's true. We burst out laughing, and she was right, though. She knew how much it would get used. She knew I loved coffee, and she knew that I was going to need lots of it. We had no way to grind our beans, and so she picked out what she thought was the perfect gift for me. Her daughter. Moms. Well, we're wrapping up the last of our series today called Portraits of God. And we've looked at a variety of ways Scripture has shown us who God is, as a rock, a judge, a light, and as a king. But today, we're going to look at God as mother. Now, traditionally speaking, we don't often think of the feminine side of God. In fact, we rarely even consider this side of God, but it may be a stretch for some of us today. Yet, Scripture is full of passages that display the mother heart of God. In fact, it may feel uncomfortable for some of us today to address God as her. But for the sake of today's message, I want us to be able to sit in that discomfort just a little bit, to learn to appreciate the beauty and the fullness of who God really is to us. Well, right from the beginning of time, we are told in Genesis that God created male and female, that he created them in his own image. Yet over time, we often dismiss the feminine side of God. God is spirit and therefore transcends gender. Well, we often refer to God with the persona of a male, and while Jesus himself came to earth as a little baby boy, God is spirit. The Bible often refers to God as Father, and those are there to show us how God relates to us. In the same way, the Bible references God as Mother and shows us other aspects of God's ability to relate to humankind. It is only when both man and woman are created in Genesis 1 that God is fully imaged. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created human beings in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." You see, God transcends gender and encompasses both masculine and feminine qualities. And what a beautiful image this truly is. Author Eric Nouse shares why this is important. He says, when we think of God's love for those who were reconciled to him in Jesus, we not only think of a strong, protective, and wise father, but we also bask in his tender, nurturing, comforting care, seen most beautifully in a mother's love for her child. What a dynamic God we worship. You see, we're called to not only relate to God in the masculine, but if we're truly made in God's image, then we need to reconcile that the feminine part of God is just as significant, that male and female are made in His image. God's image bears the qualities of all humankind. Well, it's a beautiful picture and a portrait of who God is, encompassing that of a defender, a provider, a nurturer, compassionate, and caring. Each of these aspects of God are essential for you and I to learn to appreciate, and they're an example of how we, as people, are truly to emulate God's character and qualities in our own lives. These are images and portraits of God's love in such unique and personal ways. You know, I remember as a child watching my parents. There were moments I'd dress up like my dad and put on a Mac jacket or his work shirt. There I am in his work shirt. And I'd head out to the workshop to hammer nails and use the saw and use soldering guns and tinker under the trunk, or the trunk, under the hood of the truck. And I'd watch my mom, and sometimes I'd steal her high heel shoes and clunk around the house and dress up. Or I'd take my stuffies and tuck them into bed, and I'd be in the kitchen rolling with the rolling pin or making soup in the kitchen sink with the leftover carrot and potato peels. I don't know if you've had these experiences, but I did. And it was in my nature to emulate the influences around me, to capture characteristics and attributes and to replicate them. Now, even to this day, the influence of my dad's handyman skills are well at play in our home. And if you've been around for any length of time, you will know that I like the power tools in our house. Right, Anth? It's true. If you want power tools, I'll take the power tools. Anthony, not so much, but that's okay. See, I didn't grow up thinking that certain tasks were for men only or for women only. And it's no different with God. God wants us to pay attention and to emulate the characteristics and attributes on display. God's word is there to inform us and to shape us and to give us a whole holistic perspective of who He is. I love how the author of The Shack put it regarding God in the feminine. He says, "It's nudging Christians into an uncomfortable space that forces a reconciliation with how imagery affects our faith connections. All of these work to inform us of who we really believe God to be." And to be clear, this is not about gender. It's about God's character. It's about God's attributes. And it's not about the physical, which is probably more often than not what you and I gravitate towards because it's what we clearly are comfortable identifying with. But it's recognizing the totality that God's deity carries both masculine and feminine attributes. You see, the Bible speaks about God using anthropomorphic imagery, which simply means to give human-like characteristics and attributes to something that is non-human. In this case, the deity of God. Well, these images that we find are often masculine, but the Bible does use feminine imagery to depict God's relationship to the world as well. God speaks to Israel, and in Isaiah 66, says, "Anyone whom his mother, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." We see God's sense of compassion. And it can be likened to the compassion and the tenderness of a mother. The images in the Bible are that of giving birth, of a child in the womb, and even that of nursing. And they're all quite feminine qualities. But why does the Bible use these images rather than ones that relate to experiences associated with men? Well, obviously, men are very compassionate and caring towards their children as well. The fact that the Bible uses the images of birth is to acknowledge the unique value of all that a mother has to endure as she gives birth, as she sacrifices and carries and raises a baby. Therefore, the depth of her love and her connection to that child that she has carried. This is only one of the metaphors that the Bible uses to show how deeply God loves and values her children and the ways in which God wants to bond with us. It shows that God understands and values feminine experiences. Well, as I said earlier, I am a mom. And as a woman, I have been fortunate enough to bear children. Sadly, we lost our first baby through a miscarriage, and that grief was certainly very real. And I know many of you in this room haven't had children and may never experience that in your life, but I want to share this with you. I've given birth twice, and both of my experiences have been vastly different. However, the love I experienced and the sheer determination to fight for our kids has been equal. While I comfort them and have tended to many boobies and boo-boo-boos and owies and all that fun stuff, I've also had to discipline our kids. I've had to bring correction. I've had to nurture them, teach them, defend them, provide for them. And in fact, I've even let my mama bear out sometimes. But to be clear, femininity is not to be confused with the need to have birthed or be a mother. In fact, they are not exclusive. Femininity is not defined by these experiences. In other words, motherhood does not define femininity. I have many friends who are single and have never birthed children, and they are by far some of the most practical images I have of seeing God's love in action, of seeing Mother God at work, nurturing the communities that they live in, opening their home for others to have refuge and care, feeding those around them from their garden, creating safe spaces for neighbors to build relationship and foster genuine community. They have displayed to me the heart of God in a way that is both spiritual and practical, a portrait of God as mother lived out in our everyday life. Sarah H.M. is a pastor back east, and she says, some of us for too long have heard one version of the Bible, and that has hurt and crippled our relationship with God. When we include the femininity of God in our perspective of the Trinity, we are actually restoring Scripture to what they once were and taking the Bible more literally than those who claim God only reflects male characteristics. How can we understand God fully if we're only seeing part of God and part of the Trinity? How can we be a complete and authentic community if we do not see the Trinity as equally feminine and masculine? This is a beautiful portrait. Sarah Stone, in her PhD dissertation, said images of God as a maternal deity are sprinkled throughout Jewish and Christian writings. We see images of God as a birth giver, God as a comforting mother, God as nursing. One of my favorites actually is from Hosea 13, and it depicts God as a mother bear. True story. It says, I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs and will tear open the covering of their heart. That's pretty graphic. But you know what? I'm just going to say this right now. I was so happy when I discovered this because I was like, yes, I can be that mama bear and it's okay. Because we all want someone to defend us. We all want someone to fight for us. And so legitimately, I can be a mama bear and it's okay. But it's portraying God in this way, and it's a contrast to the usual depiction of calm and compassion. It's showing another side of who God is, God as a fighter. So, what does all this imply for God's attributes? Well, just this. God has feminine and masculine qualities. Or perhaps better said, God has attributes which both men and women image equally. This is beautiful. There are things about God that men more directly put on display, and there are things about God that women more directly put on display. So let's take a few minutes to explore the ways the Bible reveals God through some of these feminine metaphors. The feminine attributes we can find are some of these, and you're going to identify with them in your own life. You're going to find a sense of security and reassurance because God comforts his people like a mother comforts her child. We learn from Scripture that you and I are never forgotten. We are remembered and continually kept in mind. You know, some of you might be away from home for the very first time. I guarantee you, your parents are thinking about you. They're wondering, are they okay? What are they doing? Are they eating enough? Are they finding their way? Are they finding friends? Are they finding connection? A parent never stops thinking about their child, no matter how old they get. Just like God, the scripture tells us, like a woman would never forget her nursing child, God will not forget her children. How about this? God is perched over us, watching us, and keeping her eyes on us like a mother eagle hovering over the ground, over the young. Deuteronomy gives us this image of God hovering like an eagle watching her babies. God looks for us and seeks us, desperate to know that we're found. This comes from us in the book of Luke, where God seeks the lost like a housekeeper, trying to find her lost coin. I don't know about you, but when you lose something, I tend to tear the house apart. My husband, on the other hand, will say, I looked. And I'm like, yeah, it's right here, right? Like, we look. Moms have this sixth sense of intuition to look beyond what is just right there and to dig and find it. Well, in the same way, that's what God does for you. The mother heart of God seeks you to find you, to go for you, to encompass you. We've already talked about this one of the mama bear who wants to defend and fiercely protect. But then there's also this from Luke, where we see the mother hen who wants to herd her precious children and hide them under her wing. We find a sense of protection and refuge in God, in her love and her expression towards us. She wants to gather you under her wing and protect you. These are beautiful images of the feminine side of God. These images don't intend to feminize him, but rather to provide a fuller and richer portrait of the divine nature that exceeds human and gender definitions. What an amazing portrait to know that God wants us to embody all of humankind, to show what love looks like on all sides, and to allow us to celebrate the uniqueness that we each bring to the table in this journey called life. Meister Eckhart was a German theologian and mystic from the 12th century, and he often used feminine metaphors in his writings when referencing God. In one of his sermons, he said this: what does God do all day long? Well, he gives birth. From the beginning of eternity, God lies on a maternity bed, giving birth to all. So when I first read this a few weeks ago, I actually had to stop and think about this for a little bit. God is the source of all things new. What a powerful imagery to think of God birthing newness continually from the beginning of time. The creator of all is the one who gives way to life. Honestly, this statement impacted me in such a surprising way as I sat with it for some time. And it just made me think about the importance of life. And God herself pushing things into existence with a fierce devotion to creation and what is unfolding. The divine nature of God putting into motion, birthing new life, newness, experiences, ways to experience God. So we need to ask ourselves this question. How does understanding God in this way help us? Well, simply this. It serves to expand our understanding of God. Graham Joseph Hill is an author and theologian from Australia, and he shares this. Using feminine imagery can help break down our limited human conceptions of God. It can remind us that our human categories, stereotypes, including gender, do not confine God. It can help us appreciate God's natures, complexity, depth, and richness. It's important that we understand the totality of who God is. Well, the theologian and professor, Dr. Lynn Topinga, wrote in her book, Feminism, somebody say it for me. Thank you. Feminism. Wow. Tongue twister. And Christianity, she says this, language about God should help us to understand and encounter God, but we should not confuse the reality of God with the limits of our language. You see, we are limited in how we express things, but God is limitless. And so often we confine him into this box without understanding the full expression of who God is and what he wants to give us. He wants us to have a bigger understanding and to not put labels on him. And I think imagery is powerful, but here's the thing. This is where it can get really complicated as you and I relate to God as a father or as a mother. In fact, some of us have experienced very challenging circumstances with these relationships in our own human life. Some of us have never had an earthly father or mother. So to understand God as such can be quite complex. Some have meaningful relationships with their parents and others. Well, we have a hard time using the word parent for those in our lives because it hasn't been as such. You see, you and I each bring our lived experiences to the table as we relate to God. And in reality, those lived experiences inform us of what we sense God should be in our lives in some capacity. So I'd venture to say in some way, those images are actually flawed. And perhaps that's why God's word uses imagery to show us what a father and a mother should be like. Using imagery to evoke a sense of wholeness for us, especially when what you and I have experienced in life may be quite contrary to what the Bible is showing us. Some of us haven't had good experiences with our parents. We felt abandoned, let down, rejected, betrayed, or even hurt. And there are those of us who have deep and meaningful relationships with our parents. But that is why this is such a beautiful portrait in God's word. It's there to show us, even in spite of our humanity, that God cares for us with tender love, compassion. He fights for us like a mama bear, nurtures us, and embraces us. The scriptures show us what a mother can be and should be, even if our earthly experiences have left us void of such experiences. My parents are very different. One is adventurous and one is a homebody. One faces pain head on and the other is absolutely terrified of needles. One will eat almost anything and the other is extremely picky and selective. My life has been informed by the unique qualities and quirks of my parents. Yet both have shown me love, discipline, support, comfort, course correction, and in all different ways, not the same from each other. And I am a richer, more rounder person because of the experiences I've had. They have helped to inform my life, but in the same way, it's important for us to appreciate the portraits that God has given us in Scripture, aside from our earthly relationships. You see, God is helping us understand love in explicit ways, identifying as a comforter, a mother offering love and nurture, sheltering her children from harm, and defending when necessary. What a gift for you and I to stop this morning and to reflect on this side of God. God as mother. To not shy away from embracing these qualities and characteristics in our own life. So I started this morning by sharing a story of my mom buying me a coffee grinder when I was in labor. And while we all chuckled a little bit, what I love most about this act of love is just that. She was thinking of me. She was thinking about her daughter and something practical that would be of use for me. She knows me better than most in my life. She knows my fears, my flaws. She knows my passions. Sometimes I think she thinks she knows them better than I do. But what a beautiful portrait for me of God, of one who knows the details of my being and knows exactly how to meet my needs. God is just that, the one who knows her children, who brings nurture and care, who fights for those she loves and gently guides. You see, God's character is vast and expansive and abundant. And the best part of it is, God knows you. She gave birth to you from the beginning of time. And the old adage, mother knows best, is something you and I can actually lean into and trust and embrace in our God, in her lavish care for her very children, you and me. When we look at portraits of God as mother, my hope is we find a source of encouragement to know we are part of the very fabric of her. And she knows you better than anyone else, and she is for you, looking to give good gifts to her children and knowing precisely what is best for each of us. We don't often create space to think of the feminine side of God, but each of us bear those qualities in our life, male or female. We are created and designed in his image. So I want to invite us to sit with this for a moment, to think of an area in your life that maybe needs a touch of that nurture, that care, or that compassion heart of a mother, to find maybe a sense of security or comfort. I want you to think of an area in your life maybe where you need to allow the reality of God as a mother to meet you, for you to know that you are seen, that you are watched over, that you are sought after, that you are wanted, that you are loved, that you are protected, that you are nurtured, fought for, that you are embraced, and you are sheltered. I want you to allow God's presence as a mother to meet you where you are at this morning. And so I just want to create some space for us to do that. Some of us might be missing a parent. Some of us might have angst with a parent. I want you to put that aside for a moment and think about the mother heart of God and what she wants to give you this morning. So just think through your life and where maybe you need the mother heart of God. And then I'm going to close in a word of prayer in a moment. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that we can be challenged this morning with a portrait of a holistic God who encompasses masculine and feminine qualities, who seeks to honor humankind. And right now in this room, I know that each of us have areas of our life that need to be touched by your goodness, by your love, your wholeness, your healing. And so whatever those areas are that we have identified in our mind and our heart today, God, I ask that you would meet us there. Whether we need the reassurance of a nurturing God who says, I'm going to calm your anxiety. Whether we need the nurturing of God who says, I'm going to provide for you. Whether we need the nurturing of God who says, I see you, I know what you're feeling, and I'm going to carry you and walk with you. Whatever our circumstance is this morning, I pray that we would understand the compassionate, nurturing, loving, fierce mama bear heart of God in our lives in a practical way. That it wouldn't be something we just throw on the side and forget, but we would understand the value and totality of the wholeness of the God that we serve, who loves us, who seeks us, and who wants to be with us. So, God, we thank you. We thank you for the portrait of the heart of a mother lived out through you. And we ask that you would go with us this week in all of our circumstances and situations, and that we would know the presence of your Spirit in real ways as we journey through this week. We pray this in your name. Amen.